Okay, today's daf is daf Yud. We are towards the bottom of the Tesem Abayis. Just 2 minutes on what a problem I alluded to yesterday that I didn't get to discuss. And that is the Meiri on yesterday's daf had said clearly, like most Rishonim hold, that the principle of Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Man HaMitzvah, does not apply to Talmud Torah. Obviously, if it would apply to Talmud Torah, we'd never do any other mitzvah in the world, because we'd just be learning, and that's it, forget everything else. We wouldn't stop for Shachris, we'd just continue learning. We'd do two dafim a day. But that doesn't apply. Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Man HaMitzvah, does not apply to Talmud Torah. But there's a sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tesvav Halacha Beis, talking about getting married. And he says, V'imhaya Oseg B'Torah, V'tarid Ba. If he's Oseg Matara and he's busy with it, and he's worried about getting married, because he's going to have to make a living, one of the achrayas, it says in the Ksuba, you got to support your wife. That's all so that's so it's you know, it's one of the achrayas of getting married. So then he doesn't want to do that right now, he still wants to learn a little more. He's a mutter lehisacher. He's allowed to delay it. Shaha Oseg b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. If you're Oseg in the mitzvah Talmud Torah, you're Patur Mina Mitzvah Peruvu. The Kol Shekein B'Talmud Torah. And surely that principle applies to Talmud Torah. So the Rambam seems to, even more than any other mitzvah, it applies to Oseg by Torah. So first of all, how does the Rambam read our Gemara? Second of all, how does the Rambam say such a thing? Oseg B'Mitzvah Patur Mina Mitzvah applies to Talmud Torah, so how do you do any other mitzvah? So that is much discussed by the Achronim, how the Rambam makes such a statement. So some say, maybe it's specifically to Peruvu. That is what the Maharam Shik suggests. Various answers given, but just to mention one answer that we quoted a couple of years ago, I don't remember what it was, on Shavuos, from quoted it at length from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and in short from Rav Asher Weiss. That they both said that maybe, really, the principle of Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah, like against the Meiri, it does not apply to Talmud Torah. But, Vanir Bazel, let me read you his Lashon. Shalom Kedasa Meiri. Shek Ronis Din Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mitzvah, Ne'amar Af Yachas L'Talmud Torah. But, the point is that Talmud Torah has to be defined as a Torah that's Lilmod Amanas Lasos. As long as your Torah can be defined as Lilmod Amanas Lasos, so then you could say Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah applies by Talmud Torah. But if at any point it's not defined anymore as Lilmod Amanas Lasos, then you have to stop because you're not even doing Talmud Torah now. And undermines the definition of Talmud Torah. So by most mitzvos, if you don't stop to do the mitzvah, then you're basically saying your learning is not amanas la'asos. So that's why most of the time you have to say, you have to stop, but not because Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, but because your Torah has to be defined as lomon amanas la'asos. But let's say you'd have a case where not stopping would not undermine your mitzvah. Meaning, and you'd keep learning, and it wouldn't be undermining. For example, this case, delaying marriage for a little bit, because you want to learn more. Delaying it. That's the case that Rambam's talking about. So there you'd say, Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah, because that Torah is defined as, that's not Lomon Amanas Lasos, so therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. Or, there's a Ma'arach HaRzaruah, which we don't Paskin like, but the Ma'arach HaRzaruah, the son of the HaRzaruah, says that, Bachurim HaHolchim Lilbo Torah, Bachurim and Yeshivas, Bachurim and Yeshivas have our Patur Bikol Mitzvos Kishahim Bebeis Rabbam. They're Patur from all mitzvahs when they're at the Rebbe's house. Patur from all mitzvahs, obviously we don't Paskin this way. But how can you say such a thing? The answer might be, at different times of life, there's different callings and different standards. So maybe when we're in yeshiva, in the early years, so then we have to have a more serious base of Talmud Torah, and mitzvos take less central role. Again, we don't paskin this way, but it just shows illustrates the point that Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah does apply to Talmud Torah. It's just about defining it as Lomon Amanas Lasos. Okay, there are many riots to this, just call one more, and then we'll continue. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in Bracha says that Oseg B'Torah has to stop to do another mitzvah only by a mitzvah sheyesh bo maisa. But a mitzvah sheyesh bo amira, if it's just saying something, then you say Oseg B'Mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah, then you don't have to stop learning. So what difference should it make? If it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. I should have to stop to do the mitzvah, whether it's talking, whether it's doing. So the answer is no. If the whole point is to make it lomon amanas lasos, so then dafka by a mitzvah sheish ba maiso you have to stop. Because if you don't stop, then it would undermine your definition of Talmud Torah. But if it's davar sheish ba amira, then not stopping won't hurt my Torah. So that's why that might be the svar of the Birchasa of Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos Daf Tesem Beis in the Dafei Harif. Okay, there's more to talk about, but that is a big discussion. But it starts with our Meiri on our Gemara Daf Tes that Oseg B'mitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah. Okay, let's continue now where we're up to. Where are we? Amar of Yehuda. Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yehuda discussing various makeups and other items that women are allowed or not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Benos Yisrael sheyegiu lepirkan velogiu l'shanim. Let's say a girl reaches physical maturity, but she's not really old enough yet. So it's somewhat embarrassing for her to be physically mature, and she's not at that age yet. So they used to try to remove the hair from their bodies so that they wouldn't look so mature. So how'd they do it? Anios toflos osab basid. So the poor women used to remove it with lime, smearing lime on their bodies, somehow remove the hair. Ashiras toflos asan masoles. The rich used to remove it with flour. Benos malachi b'shemen hamor. And royal princesses used to remove it with shemen hamor. Shenamar shisha chadasha b'shemen hamor. As it says, 6 months with shemen hamor, as it says in the Megillah. My shemen hamor, Rav Huna bar Chiya amar stachas. That's what it is. Rav Yirmiya bar Ami amar shemen zayish lo hevi shlish. Oil that did not grow from olives that were not a third ripe. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anfikinon, Shemen Zayish Lohevi Shlish. Anfikinon, which we have elsewhere, means this oil that comes from olives that did not grow a third. V'lamasachin oso, why they use it. Shemeshir es haseyar, it removes the hair. That's what we're using it for. Uma'adein es habasar. And it makes the flesh glow. It makes the flesh shine. That's why it was used. Rabibi, Havile Barta, Rabibi had a daughter, Tafleva Eber. He slowly, carefully, limb by limb, smeared her with this Shemen Zayis, and it made her glow. And because of that, she looked beautiful. Shaka Badami Azuze, he was able to take 400 zuz as from a suitor in order to win his daughter's hand in marriage. There was a kusi in his neighborhood that heard about it. They said, wow. That's what you could do if you're Tofelis, your daughter. The Havilei Barta, this Kusi had a daughter, Tafla B'chad Zimna, but he didn't do it one little by little, limb by limb, but he just did it all at once, which is very difficult and extreme on one's body, Vamesa, and he caused his daughter to die because he did all this at one time. Amar Katla Bibi Labarte, oh, Bibi caused my daughter to be killed. Rabibi didn't do anything. He just didn't follow instructions. He did it not in the way that Rabibi did it. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Bibi, the Shasi Shechra Ba'ayan Banse Tafla. Rav Nachman makes one more comment about Rav Bibi. Rav Bibi, in Rav Bibi's place where they all drink beer, so they need Tafla, they need this smearing in order to make their skin shine. Anan Deloshasin Shechra Bo Ba'ayan Banse Tafla. Our daughters naturally shine. Because we don't drink beer in our community, in our neighborhood, so we don't need the smearing of the oil.
What's the hemshack between beer and this process?
Between beer, I'm not sure. Somehow, beer seems to affect the complexion of the. It might be not just beer. Maybe beer means because it was hot and the heat of the sun. I'm not exactly sure how beer changed their complexion, but that's what it seems to say. Okay, top of the Omud. Hahedyo tofer kedarka. The hedyot, back the Mishnah. The Mishnah said back on Daf Chesam Abayz, the end of the marriage Mishnah, that a hedyot can sew in a normal way, kedarko, what's called maisa hedyot. Hey chidami, hedyot, what does it mean, hedyot? Tudeos, amri debe rabyana, kol she'ina yochal lohotzi melomachar bebasachas. Who's a hedyot? Anybody who, when they stitch, what happens when you stitch? You take a needle, you put it through the material, and then you could tighten it, pull it all the way through, and then put it through again, and then put it all the way through. But if you're a professional, says the Gemara, you can stitch like 6 stitches, and only after like 6 or 7 stitches, then you can pull it, and they'll all get tightened perfectly and beautifully. So if any of us do it, we'll pull it, and they'll all get messed up, and they'll be piled, like you ever try to make tzitzis. You try to roll it, and you pull the tzitzis, and they're all bumped onto each other, and they're not even, and they're not straight, because we're hedyotos. Right, says the Gemara, if you could do this 6 or 7 stitches, and then pull it once, and it'll all be beautiful, so that's an uman. But anybody who cannot do that, that's a hedyot. Rav Yosef, Rachanina Amar, Kol She'ena Yochal Lachavin Imra B'Chefes Chaluka. Anybody who can't make a straight hem at the bottom of a material, you know, it won't be exactly straight. So that is a hedyot. Okay, just one little comment and one larger comment. The Tosafot Rashi here has an important comment where he says, "Wow, on Chol HaMoed you find different standards for different people." A hedyot could do things that an uman cannot do things. And an uman has to do things in different ways. You don't find that by Shabbos. By Shabbos, what's usher is usher. Well, different people have different... Okay, if you're a lefty or a righty, things might be a little different. But Lamaisa, there's no difference between an Uman and a Hedyo when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, Tafka Chalamoid. So says the Tosafot of the Rashi, Nechinami. There are different standards. When it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, it's more objective. There's Melachas Machsheves. As long as one's Machsheva is fulfilled, that's it. There's no Chilukim. But when it comes to Chalamoid, there are heterim. Maisa Hedyot is a heter. And therefore, one cannot compare Chalamoid and Shabbos. Okay, along those lines, talking about Maisa Hedyot, I never mentioned all of them together, so I just wanted to do that now. And that is, this Gemara that we just did brings up Maisa Hedyot. Maisa Hedyot is mutter on Chalamoid. Tosfos points out, the top Tosfos, Nirid Dafka Letzarech HaMoed. Maisa Hedyot is only mutter when it's done for Chalamoed. Aval Bechina, but Stam, let's say, sewing something for, you know, I'm off from work, so I'm going to sew something that I need for 2 weeks from now, that you're not allowed to do, even if it's Maisa Hedyot. Lama Yatira Filai De Shinui. You can't do that, even through a Shinui. You can't do that. And then Tosfos says, it's not talking about Davar Ha'avid either. Because Davar Ha'avid, if it's Davar Ha'avid, you're allowed to do it even without a Shinui. And if it's not Davar Ha'avid, you can't do it with a Shinui. So Tosis brings in many of these principles. Again, just to mention it though, because I never mentioned it all at once. There are five Heterim on Chalamoid. And each one has to be discussed exactly when they're Mutter. The first Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chalamoid. Open up the sixth Chalak of the Mishnah Berurah. And first page, right there. Tafka Flamin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there are five malachas that are mutter in Chalamoid. It's not the Mishnah Berurah. It was from the Rishonim earlier, but I'm just reading it from the Mishnah Berurah. Five categories of mutter work. You got to analyze each one. Number one, Davar Ha'avid. Emol Yesenu Ata. Davar Ha'avid. Number two, Tzarchei Hamoed. Number three, Bishvil Poel She'en Lo Mayochal. For worker, you don't have what to eat. Number three. Number four, Tzarchei Rabim. Number five, Maisa Hedyot. Those are the five heterim of malacha on Chol HaMoed. Each one has to be analyzed what's mutter and what's not mutter. If you look in the Piskei Tshuvos there on at the beginning, on Tovkov Lamed, he has a beautiful summary of many of these. Davar HaAvid is mutter, no matter, we've mentioned, almost, you don't have to do it with a shinui, you can just do it. The only limitation on Davar HaAvid we already had in our first Mishnah is Tircha Yaseira. If it's crazy tircha, so then you can't even do Davar HaAvid. But other than that, Davar HaAvid is mutter. That is number one. What about Tzarech HaMoed? Tzarech HaMoed, we said, also is mutter. You're allowed to do it even without a shinoi, maybe even Maisa Uman, maybe even Tircha Maruba for Tzarech HaMoed. We've had examples. So that is Tzarech HaMoed. And you have to analyze the others. When is Maisa Hedyot mutter? That's what this Tosfos discusses. Tzarech HaMoed, not Tzarech HaMoed. But these are all very Lamaisa, very little coming in a few weeks, very Lamaisa questions that come up. We'll touch on a few of them as we go.
So if you need a tailor and that's a Maisa Uman, you can't do it yourself.
If you need a tailor and you do it yourself?
You can't do it yourself.
You cannot do it yourself.
So it's a Maisa Uman, but it's Tzarech HaMoed.
So it's a Maisa Umas, that's what Tosfos says, that it's Tzarech, even Tzarech HaMoed must be Maisa Hedyot. So let's continue along those lines. Let's continue reading what Tosfos says. Look at the middle of Tosfos. Vim Yaniach, fourth line of Tosfos. Vim Yaniach Osana La'achar HaMoed. I'm sorry, go back and say Vehecha. Vehecha de Begadav O'Minal of Mekurayin. Let's say your clothes are ripped. Right, your case. Let's say your clothes are ripped. The hem went down. Vim Yaniach Osana La'achar HaMoed. And if you leave them till after the Moed, meaning the post could say, and you have to wear these clothes now. So as you wear them, you're going to step on the back of the pants and it's going to get ripped more and more. Yiskalkalu is going to get ruined. So is that Davar HaAvid? If getting worse, Davar HaAvid? So that's the machlokas we've shown him. Ra'isi rabosai she'ein mekilin klal ha'atir afilo yedei nachri. Getting a little worse is not called Davar HaAvid. Kol she'ena osa, ena omer l'nachri v'osa, which we'll have later. You can't even do amir la'akum. V'shem alo yehob koshba mosa Davar HaAvid. That's not called Davar HaAvid. Why isn't it called Davar HaAvid? So the Rush here has a line. Let me find it. The Rush's line is, where's the line? Anything here. Avo, what is Davar HaAvid? Tani b'gemarshi is kalkel ikir ha'inyin. Avo b'shvil miyut tosefes kilko lo mikri Davar HaAvid. Saving yourself from getting worse, that's not called Davar HaAvid. Only if something is totally ruined would it be called Davar HaAvid. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Tuf Kuf Mem Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says in Tuf Kuf Mem Aleph, Asur l'takein malbushav umilnalav karuim. You can't go to the tailor. You can't fix your clothes. Miyu al yidei shinui shari ksas l'tzarech hamoed. If you do it in an unusual way, so then maybe it will be mutil l'tzarach habayi. V'chein asher lo amar le'ed yehudi l'sakna, you also can't tell the ed yehudi. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rosh, even though they're going to rip more, it's usser. To lo mikri davar avid ela she'ikir hadavar nifsad. If it's going to get totally lost, I'll be sure ma'at tosefes kilko, that's not a problem. And again, there's no chilek where if it got ripped on moed before the chol moed, yeah. If you're not doing it, letzarach hamoed, that's what the contrast is. You're just fixing it because you have it's convenient now. But it's not. Yeah, let's say you haven't. You've been looking for time to do something, and you haven't had time, so now you have time to do it. Also, you're not supposed to do it.
What about the union of tzar or hinu yontif?
So the question is, do you need it for yontif or not? So if you need it for yontif, so do it in a way that's not professional.
Or what about something that causes distress? You hit your car and you want to fix your car because otherwise you're going to be stressed.
So we're going to get to talking about cars. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Let's hold off on that. Okay, what other point of on this line? So we have these two definitions. What's a hedyot? Either somebody who has to do the needle, can do the needle six times and then pull it up, or somebody who cannot make a straight hem. So who do we pass it like? So the Rif says, there's no machlokas. Rif says the same thing, it's just two different shiurim. So machlokas. The Rosh says, no, the Rosh says there is a machlokas, but you don't know we don't know who to pass it like. The Gemara doesn't say what a paskin like. There are no rules about when Debei Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina argue. So therefore, the Rosh says you got to be careful. You can't do either one. If you could do either one of these, then it's you got to be machmir. Maybe you're a new one, so you can't do either one of these actions. Got to be machmir by both. Ask the Achronim. What do you mean you got to be machmir by both? Because you don't know. Don't we usually have a principle of Savei Drabanan Lakula? And according to many, we've shown him Malach and Chalamoid is Rabbanan. So how could you say here? How could the Rosh here say be machmir by both? Because we're not sure what a paskin like. So what's the answer? So the answer is, it's in Yonat Yoma, 2 weeks. I wish everybody a good in Chodesh, in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But now we can, for sure, now according to everybody, even Rav Shmuel Gamliel says 2 weeks before Pesach, you start talking about Pesach. So we can talk about Pesach for a minute. Right? It's based on the Ran. The Ran says by Haseba. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that you need Haseba by two of the Dalai Kosos. Which ones? Machlokes. One person says the first two, because that's the beginning of the Geula. The other person says the last two, because that's when you're actually freed, right after you finish Magid. So do you need a Seba for these two or those two? We don't know what to do, so you know what, says the Gemara? Do both. Have a Seba by all four. Asks the Ran, what do you mean? Dalet Kosos is a Mitzvah Drabanan. Even Mitzvah Mikdash was a Mitzvah Drabanan. It's a Mitzvah Drabanan. So what do you mean do both? Savik Drabanan Lakula. What is the Ron answer? Either the Ron says, maybe it's not such a big deal, so just do it both. What's the big deal? So you lean. The second answer is... exactly. If saying Savi Drabanan Lakula will be okir the entire din, so then you don't say Savi Drabanan Lakula. What would you say by Yaseba? That don't do it by the first two, because maybe the other halacha is like, don't do it by the last two, so you ruin the whole thing? So you don't say Savi Drabanan Lakula in that case, if it will ruin the whole din. What the Mishnah Malach says is also to explain the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's say you live in a city that you're not sure if it was walled, Bizman Yeshua Ben Nun or not, so you don't know which day to lay in the Megillah. So you know why? You have to lay in both days. The first day with the bracha will be lay in both days. Ask the Mishnah Malach, what do you mean? Megillah's Drabanan. Okay, Dibre Kabbalah and most. Savi Drabanan Lakula. So what does the Mishnah Malach say? No, the Ran. What are you going to say? So each day you don't do the Megillah because it's a suffix? You don't do the Megillah, period. No! You never say something about the Kula if it'll be okay the entire did. So I saw the Biurei Hadaf, it quotes some that may be here too. What are you going to say? You don't know which shear to hold up. They're two different shearim. Straight hem versus, pulling up the needle. So if you hold like one of them, so the other one is totally wiped out, or you'll hold like none of them because you don't... So that's why maybe here too you would apply that Ran that some of the Rabbanan Lakula does not apply where it would be okay the whole din. Okay, let's continue.
The woman doesn't do either.
What?
Both of them are not
Maisa Umah, so you don't do either. Okay, so then both of those Shiurim are wiped out. Okay, yeah, it doesn't fit as perfectly, 100%, as the others, but again, some Achronim suggest that this Ran might be explained this Gemara. Okay, what if you're a professional? So a professional cannot sew in a normal way, but he can be machlev. What's machlev? My machlev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mafsiya. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to leave some spaces in between your stitches, like the teeth of a dog has spaces, they're not perfectly lined up. Rabbi Bar Shmuel Amar Shine Kalbasa. Also connecting to the teeth of a dog. Rashi says this means make it jagged. Sometimes you see teeth of a dog, one's big, one's small, one's big, one's small. So then there too... meaning, do it in an unprofessional way. Okay, Vaiter. Misarganus Amitos. The last line of the Mishnah said, let's remember the Machlokas. The Tanakhama said you could be Misarig beds. They used to have some type of stitches under the bed. They used to hold up the beds. So you could do these stitches under the bed. Rabbi Yossi was Machmir. Rabbi Yossi said, no, you could only be Mematchin, which we thought meant tightening the stitches. You can't stitch them in the first place, you could only be tightening. But we're going to talk exactly what those words mean. Again, the Tanakhama allows Misargin, and the Rabbi Yossi says only mematchin. My misargin and my mematchin. What is it? Yasa Rav Dimi. So we're going to have Rav Dimi, and in 15 lines we're going to have Ravin. So when Rav Dimi came, Omar Pligibar Bchibar Abba Rabasi, Vitravayam Shay the Chiski Rabbi Yochanan, they argued about what the word misargin means. I mean, when the Tanakhama says you're allowed to be misareg, there's a machlokas. Chad Amar misargin chesi va'arev, umamatchin chesi below arev. One says that misargin means you're allowed to do both stitches, vertical and horizontal. Shesi va'arev. You could do both stitches on the bed. The Tanakhama even allows you to do that. Umematchin shesi below arev. But the one who says mematchin, Reb Yossi, says, no, 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 you can't do both. You can only do one direction, because more than that would be a tircha. The Chad Amar, and the other opinion says, no, misargin shesi below arev. Even the Tanakhama agrees that you can't do both ways, that's too much of a tircha. Misargin means one direction, shesi below arev. Umematchin, shemaya rafu imematcho. And mematchin just says that if everything's there, you're allowed to tighten it. So two interpretations of what the Mishnah means. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this really true? V'ha'atani Rav Tachlifa bar Shal v'shavin she'in mafshin l'chavon l'chadchila. We have a brisa that says that you're not allowed to make these ropes that hold up the bed in the first place. Everybody agrees, v'shavin, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to make and twist these ropes into thread in the first place. So Bishlam alamand amar misargin shesi v'arev. Umamatcha shesi below arev. According to the first opinion, that mishesi v'arev is mutter according to the Tanakhama, and Chesi below Arev is mutter to Rabbi Yossi. Hide the Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Shaul v'shavin she'im mafshin l'chavon l'chadchila. Then I understand this brisa, because this brisa tells me the only action that's usher according to everybody, that you're not allowed to make the threads. That's why Rav Tachlifa says what he says. El lamant amar misargin shesi below arev mematchim shibhaya rafu hayim mematcho. But according to the other opinion, that also agrees. That other opinion says that doing both directions, Shasi and Arev, are also even according to Tanakhama. Tanakhama only allows one direction. So then, Hashta Shasi va'Arev amart lo, Chavalam l'chadchila miboy. If even just stitching both directions are usur, so of course, you know, making the threads in the first place is an extra tircha, something that you should have done beforehand. So according to that opinion, why does the Tachlifa only pick one case that everybody argues? What about the other case? Kasha. So we don't answer that question. Period. There's something nice to say, but let's continue first to the Mishnah. Is there anybody that says that the word misargin only means one direction? Shesi below arev? But we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hamita, when is a mita makabel tuma? We know, we'll touch on it now for a second. Kalim are not makabel tuma, cannot accept tuma, even if a dead body touches a kli. It's only makabel tuma if it is in the state of Gemar Malacha, if it's finished production. If it's not finished production yet, so then it's not Makabel Tumah. Sometimes you can have something that's used by some and not by others. So that'll be totally on the Kavana of the owner. If the owner thinks to use it as is, then it's Makabel Tumah. If the owner thinks that it should be used later on, it's still in the production process, then it's not Makabel Tumah. So when is this one of these beds Makabel Tumah? Misha Yisrog Bashlosha. When you have the horizontal thread going through holding up the bed, and you stitch three times around it the vertical. So you see from the Mishnah, you see from this Mishnah that the verb misargin always means shesi and arev, because you have the horizontal and you're doing three of the vertical. So how can anybody suggest that misargin means only one direction? So therefore we reject Rav Dimi. Elok Yasa Ravin, Ravin says you got the whole thing wrong. Rav Dimi, it's not that they have an argument what misargin means. Everybody agrees what misargin means. Misargin means both directions, and that's what the Tanakhama allows. The Tanakhama allows you to set up these beds in the normal way on Chol HaMoed. El Kiyasa Ravin Omar, B'Misargin Kol Be'av Lo Pligi D'Shesiv Arev. By misargin, everybody agrees both directions. El Ki Pligi B'Mematchin. The Machlokas is by Mematchin. What does the word Mematchin mean? So Mar Slavar Mematchin Shesiv Lo Arev. One says that mematchin means shesi below arev, and that's what Rabbi Yossi matters. Remember, there's two shitas in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says both directions, setting up the threads are mutter. Rabbi Yossi says mematchin is mutter. So what does mematchin mean? So the first opinion is that it means one direction. Umar Savrishim Hayrafi mematchin. But the other opinion says no. Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow you to put any threads into the bed. Only what's there can be tightened. Meisve, I'll ask you a kasha on this. Mesagad is a mita, veizorach lomer eshu mematfin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the most makel. He's like the Tanakama. You're allowed to do anything you want setting up these beds. You're allowed to be mesarik both directions. Rabbi Yossi over mematchin avalo mesargin. Rabbi Yossi says you could be mematchin and not mesargin. Mesargin again means the most makel. But what does mematchin mean? We're not sure. V'yisham re'e mematchin kolikir. But what's important from this brisa is that there is an opinion that he is even more machmer than Rabbi Yossi. That doesn't even allow mematchin. So bishlon l'adar mematchin chesi below arev. According to the opinion that says the word mematchin means one direction strings, and that's what Rabbi Yossi allows. So you could understand how there's an opinion more chamer than him. Hainu dasu yeshomim lefluge. The yeshomim comes along and says you cannot put in even one direction of strings. The only thing you're allowed to do is to tighten. But according to the opinion that says mematchin means to tighten, and that's all Rabbi Yossi allows, tightening these strings. So what's the more machmir shita? You can't even tighten the strings under the bed? Would anybody say that's asur? Liyesh omrim mematcho nami lo? They also asur tightening the strings? So the Gemara says, yeah, in kiva ne'efshel amimle b'mane, since you have another way to support your bed, just put boxes underneath your bed. You don't have to hold them up with strings. Put stuff underneath the bed to hold up the mattress. So that's good enough. So therefore, lo tarkina, we don't allow you to even tighten the strings because you can just do the other way to put the kalem underneath. The Rishonim say, if you don't have them, then you're allowed to tighten them, even according to the Yesh Omer. So you read this Gemara and you're like, okay, let's go on to the next Gemara. What does this have to do with me? I saw the Sharm Sharon Balacha tightening, putting in strings, putting. So Sharm Sharon Balacha quotes a fascinating discussion from the Ramah in Yaradeya. Starts with the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen, which was censored from some early editions of the Trumas Hadeshen, but the Trumas Hadeshen says in Kuf Tzadik Vav, if you're walking and you meet a priest, or you're walking and you meet somebody of the other faith, and they have a cross on them, on their hats, on their neck, are you allowed to greet them in the normal way? Usually when you greet, you bow down a little bit. How you doing? You know, you take off your hat in those days. Are you allowed to? That's a big discussion. So the Trumas Hadeshen, according to Ramah, says better not to. Better not to if you could like be bound before they come, like, you know, drop some money on the floor so you could bend down to get the money. Or take off your hat like before they come. Do something so it's not nikar that's what you're doing. But then he says, you know, but he quotes Rav Yitzchak Oppenheim, because of Yitzchak Oppenheim of the Rishonim, who says that, you know, maybe they don't wear these things because they worship them. This is just part of the uniform. It's part of what they look like. Whether you're really bowing down to them. He says, I'll tell you, the Trumas Hadeshen writes, he says, I remember when I was younger that there was somebody from Paruzin, Shahaya Bavienna, that they used to visit my father, visit the older people in my community. And when he used to come, he knew that we were uncomfortable. So he used to roll up his sleeves and his collar so he'd cover it up. He wanted the covet. He didn't care about the cross. He wanted the covet. He used to cover everything else up so the Jews would bow down, because he knew they couldn't bow down to the cross. So the question is, what status does a cross have if it's not made l'shem avodah zarah? It's just made as the shape of a uniform. That's a discussion in the Ramon Yeradei in Kuf Mem Aleph and in Kuf Nun. So the discussion is, can you make a cross not l'shem avodah zarah? Does it have the status? So one of the Achronim brings a raya from our Gemara. Because what does our Gemara say? You can make Shesiva Arev. Chesiv Arif. It's a bunch of crosses, all one next to each other under the bed. So you see, it's not a problem. It's not brought up here. Haraya, that doesn't have that status. And therefore, the may ikara did it wouldn't be a problem. Better not to. Says the Ramah. Tzuras hamishemishtachavim lo. The tzuras that they bow down to, and they're wearing it. So dino kedin selim. So first, it has that status for aser below bittol aval osan shetolin bitsavar. Lizzie Caron, those that they just hang on the neck to remember, lo mikrit selem, umutter, quoting a Mordechai. And again, the other Amun, that was in Kuf Mem Aleph. In Kuf Nun, he also discusses this. Maybe it's only Asim Shemaris Ayin. He says if they have it on their Begadim, also lehishtachavos lahem, o lahasir kova, rak bederchshin onireh. Drop your money, v'yish makilin, because it's not made l'shem avodah zarah. But anyway, this discussion, subbring it right from our Gemara, because it talks about Shesi v'arev not being a problem. Somebody tells you to bow down to a cross, they'll kill you. But again, that's is it Shas Hashmad?
No.
It's not Shas Hashmad.
No.
Is it Maris Ayin? So Maris Ayin of the Big Three. So is that going to be part of the Big Three? That also relates. Is it part of that Isser or not? But again, Abizrayu, is it at least Abizrayu? Maybe it's an Abizrayu. Maybe it's Abizrayu if it looks like it. If it's, again, it might be right. they treat it that way. So the question is, do they treat it that way, or is it part of the uniform? You gotta know. You gotta get somebody on the inn to find out. Okay, but that's a discussion on these on the beds issue. Okay.
If you're in a hospital, there's a tail on the wall.
Oh. Right. If you're in the hospital, sometimes they're nailed to the walls. Therefore, you don't have a choice. There is a serious issue. Sometimes they have a chapel in a hospital, an interdenominational chapel. You know, if you live in a place where you can have a separate shul, you go to Kennedy Airport. They have three different chapels right in a row. They have a shul, and they have two other, one from the Muslims, one for the Christians, one for the Jews. Three in a row, three separate rooms. Baruch Hashem. But if you go to somebody's at a hospital, you should have a chapel there. So in that chapel, they have all these different symbols. It's a big shiloh, but you can daven in there. Better to daven outside. So you have these slumim that mamish people come bow down to. You know, and people go there for, where else are they davening harder than they're davening in the hospital? You know, that's the place where prayer is happening for everybody. So again, it's a serious shiloh to daven in those places. Okay, Masnisan. Next Mishnah. You're allowed to set up an oven on Chol HaMoed, right? The old ovens, the Tanur, the Kirayim, the Kira, or a mill. Rechayim is a mill. You're allowed to set it up. The ovens used to be, they didn't have a bottom. It looked like a big box with an open bottom, and you put the fire on the bottom. So you're allowed to set that up on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara is going to talk about that it's Melechas Ochal Nefesh. You could even do Machshirei Ochal Nefesh, preparatory stages to Ochal Nefesh on Chol HaMoed. And Rechayim, even setting up the mill. Some Rishonim are in Goris Rechayim here, because that seems to be a little too preparatory, but it's in our Girsa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mechabshes Rechayim B'tchila. You can't be Mechabesh, the mill. What does that mean? The Gemara is about to say. My Mechabshin. What does Mechabshin mean? So just remember, a mill, in the olden days, what did a mill look like? How did you grind grain into flour? You had this huge bottom stone, and that's stationary, and it had ridges in it. So it had sharp ridges on top of it. And then the top stone was lowered. You put the kernels into that, this little hole in the top stone. It goes on, and now it's in between the stones. And then you either manually or with an animal, you pull so that the top stone pushes against the bottom stone, against the sharp parts, and now you have ground your kernels into flour. Again, you look in the Malachas books, see what tochein was, that was tochein, using these mills. So my mechabshin, what does it mean you're not allowed to be mechabish your mill? Review the Amar Menachem Rechaya. What if your bottom stone had gotten smoothed out, and you want to sharpen it again, because, you know, the ridges aren't there anymore? That's what you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yechiel Amar Bas Ina. What if your, the hole in your top stone that you usually deposit your kernels into, that wasn't there, that got stuffed up, so that you are allowed to, you're not allowed to make on Chol HaMoed. That's 2 days in Rabbi Yehuda. Meisve, I ask you a question. You're allowed to set up an oven on Chol HaMoed, as long as you don't completely finish the job. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, you can finish the job. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishmo, what's important for us now, Rabbi Yehuda said, in Rabbi Eliezer's name, Ma'amidin es hachadasha, you're allowed to set up a new mill on Chol HaMoed, u'machabshin es hayishana, and you can be mechabesh, an old one. V'yesh omer ne'e mechabshin kol liquor, and the Yishra said, no, you can't be mechabesh at all. So what is this Bryce talking about? So Bishlom Amar Mechabshin Menachar Rechaya, if you say mechabshin means making the new ridges, so how did the Bishkachas of Yishana, then I understand how you can have mechabshin by an old one. An old one got smoothed out over time, so you have to make the new ridges. Elamand Amar Bas Eino, Yishana Bas Eino, Lamala. But if it's an old one, if mechabshin means making the hole to put the kernels in, then an old one has the hole already. So what does it mean you can't do it to an old one? It has the hole already. So the Gemara answered, no, could go into Kaboila or Vachay Tvei Perta. You want to make it a little bigger. You want to make it a little bigger, so that's what would be allowed by the Tadakama and not by the Yesh Omer. Refuna Shamilahu Gavar, the Kamanaka Rechaya, Bechol Demodaya. Refuna once heard that somebody was making ridges in their mill on Chol HaMoed. Amar, Man Hai Ischil Gufe, the Kamacha Chol Demodaya. Who is that guy that's being Mechalel Chol HaMoed? What a terrible thing. The Gemara just comments, it must be that Rav Huna held like with the Yesh Omrim that you can't do any of this on Chol HaMoed. Darash Rav Chama, Nokrin Rechai B'Moed, you're allowed to make the ridges on Chol HaMoed to sharpen. Mishum Rabbi Meir Amar, Afilu Sus Sharochev Alav. Even the horse that you ride on, the Chamar Sharochev Alav, or the donkey that you ride on, Mutter Litzol Tzipranayim B'Chol HaShamoed. You're allowed to cut their fingernails on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because it's Surah Chol HaMoed, you want to use it to ride on. So therefore, the animal cannot walk properly if it has long nails. So therefore, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to cut it. Tosfos here says, Litzarah Chol HaMoed. only Lazar Chamoed you're allowed to do this. So this is about fixing your horse to ride on. What about Stam riding on a horse? Stam riding on. What about Stam riding in your car? A few days ago, we had Rav Sternbach had a tshuva about this. Just Stam riding it. Is there any issue about riding in your car? He says, that should be a Maisa Uman. Maisa Uman, driving a car. So he says, you know, if you need to, it's a Chamoed. You know, if you don't really need to, you're just doing it for a little, you know, you can walk down the street. But instead you drive, maybe you better not to. But generally, if any Tzorech HaMoed would be okay. Tosfos here says, Tzorech HaMoed is okay. Continuing, Aval Chamra Derechai Lo. But cutting the nails of the donkey that you use to grind the mill, the Rechaya, like we said, sometimes it's manually done. Sometimes you have a donkey that pulls the stone a little bit, and then that way it goes down. You're not allowed to cut those donkey's nails. Why? Because that donkey doesn't go so far. It just moves a few inches. So it's not such a tzorech to cut the nails of that donkey. So therefore, it would not be allowed. Period. We'll talk more about the car at the end if we have time. Rav Yehuda Shari Lemishkal Tufrei Lachamra. Rav Yehuda allowed the nails of his Lachamra Derechaya, the nails of his donkey that was used for the mill. He allowed them to cut the nails because he assumed that was needed for a tzarech. Ula Uk and Tosfos has, by the way, on the top Tosfos, we don't cut our horses' nails or donkey's nails. We fix their horseshoes. Tosfos says that would be the same halacha. Bezman hazeh. Tosfos of the Tosfos. Who adin l'didon shemutu l'saking barzalim to karka kashu miskalkel. If they walk without horseshoes on our hard ground, it would ruin their feet. So also you got to fix their horseshoes. That's not a maisa uman. Taking your car to a mechanic, you know, that's not the same as fixing your horseshoes. Even though you might both say, hey, they're helping you go, but the poskim say, that is a maisa uman should not be done in Chol HaMoed if possible. If you have to go somewhere in Chol HaMoed, and you're supposed to go somewhere, you especially L'Shem Mitzvah, and, you know, your car has to be fixed something, so then maybe you're Yish Makom Lahatir. But generally, let's say you just, you know, now you have a chance for an oil change, or now Chol HaMoed is the time that you could get things done that should not be done, because most of fixing cars are maisa uman. Continuing, so Rav Yehuda allowed to cut the nails of his mill donkey, ula ukmi rechaya, and to set up the mill, ula mivne recha, and to build the mill, ula mivne amas rechaya, to build the frame of the mill, ula mivne urya, and even to build a barn in order to protect his animals, because all these are considered tsrachim of the moed. Rav Sharal Isruke Susya, Rav allowed to comb the hair of his horse. Ulamivne, let's just finish, then we'll talk about that one. Ulamivne akarfita, and to build akarfita, what's that? That's a trough where they put the animal food in. Ulamivne yitzdava, and also to build benches. Also, any tzarech of the moed, he allowed. Why are you allowed to comb the horse's hair? You know, if that's a malacha, if that's a toleish, a gozes, so why are you allowed to do that? So there are two reasons given in the Rishonim. Some say that the horse rides better. It goes better if you comb its hair. It's more comfortable, and it's straight, therefore you're allowed to comb the hair of the horse. Others say, no, it has nothing to do with the hair, but it's just that the driver is more comfortable. The driver is more comfortable. You sit on a horse, and the hair is all shooting up, so it's more comfortable for the driver when you comb the hair. Why nafkamina? What's the difference? Could you get a car wash on Chol HaMoed? What do you say? Could you get a car wash on Chol HaMoed? So the Piskei Tshuvas quotes, it depends. If the reason you're allowed to comb the hair of your horse is because the horse drives better, goes better, car wash doesn't make your car go better. Just cleaner. Doesn't make your car go better. But if the reason you're allowed to comb the hair of your horse is because you're more comfortable on the horse, you feel better, so then maybe you could get a car wash. Maybe you're going to get a car wash because you feel better. If you get a car wash, you walk in, it smells good on the outside, you feel good, so you can get the car wash. So the bear Moshe, the Debet Ziner, says, you know, maybe better not. It's Marasayan, we're Choshis for the first reason, Zilzul Yantif, it's done by Farhesia, the big garage, everybody sees that it's shining. Maybe it's better not to, unless, you know, if it's undrivable without the, we all get, it doesn't apply to Pesach, because a week before Pesach, we all go get car washes. We all clean out the car. So I guess maybe it'll come up. But generally, Pesach, we just did it, unless it's a real tzarech comes up. Interesting, nafkamina, based on the machlokas we showed him on combing the hair of the horse. Okay. The gavlus of our poskim is that they take the Gemara and they apply it to Bizman Hazeh. Rava now has 8 statements about Chol HaMoed. That's the rest of the Amud. Rava's 8 statements. Number 1. Rava Sharla Mishko Dama Lebehema B'chol Dama Daya. Rava says you're allowed to bloodlet your animal on Chol HaMoed. Bloodletting was assumed to be healthy and healthful. And Rava said you're allowed to do it to your animal on Chol HaMoed. Amalei Abaye Tanya Dama Say Alecha. Yeah, there's a brisa that supports you. Mekizin Dab Lebehema V'ein Monin Lerefua Lebehema B'chol HaMoed. You're allowed to bloodlet your animal and you don't prevent any refua to your animal on Chol HaMoed. Number 1. Number two, Rava Sharo Lekiskuse Kirmi. Rava allowed Kiskuse Kirmi. What does that mean? Rashi seems to say it means pressing and ironing your clothes. You gotta iron your clothes on Chol HaMoed. The Rambam says that sometimes when after you dry your clothes, you put it on the clothesline, they don't have dryers, they put it on the clothesline, you take it off, it's somewhat hard. Right? It's like cardboard. So the Rambam says you're allowed to mush up your clothes in your hand to make it softer. To make it to soften your clothes, that's also part of the process that you need your clothes. You want to put on clothes that are hard, so you'll have to mush up your clothes with Kalamoi. That's number three. My time, a Maisa Hedyo too, because that's a Maisa Hedyo. That's not professional. Just by pressing or doing that to your clothes. Amar of Yisla Bar Ami, Amar of Chista, along these lines, Kiture Biri Usser. Kiture Biri, Rashi gets two pshatim. We'll just imagine one of them, creating pleats in your garment. The bottom of your sleeves or your pants, creating pleats, that's aser. My time and maisa umanu, because that's a maisa uman. And even with sarach hamoed, as we said, maisa uman is a problem. Even sarach hamoed, some work has to be done in an unprofessional way. The hashkafa and musa that we should take from these weeks of learning is the importance of malachas chol hamoed and treating chol hamoed properly. Not like, you know, shmon leslan, bezman hazeh, we're mevazen hamoed, we treat it like a regular day. It says in Perkei Avos, you can't do that. So we have to make sure that what we do in Chol HaMoed is proper and appropriate for the day. Rav is number three. Amar Rava. Man de Misakal Ara, somebody who is taking stones out of their ground, removing obstacles from their field. Adaita de Beidari, if you're doing it in order to create a smooth place to do threshing for your grain, Shari, then that's mutter. Adaita de Ara Asa, but if you're just doing it to clean your lands, right, you're just being a good farmer, Asa, that's going to be Asa. Heichidami, what does heichidami mean? The Ritva says, we're going to have a bunch of heichidamis. They mean, how should you act? So even with good kavanas, there's no marazayin issue. So what should you do? So the Ritva says, the Gemara says, mulya b'mulya b'natza b'natza. If, what should you do? If you are on a high level, like a ridge in your field, and you dig up the dirt, and you leave it there on the high level, or natza b'natza, you're on the low level, and you dig up the dirt, and you leave it on the low level, we're going to go with a bach girsa, because that day he changes it. So then, adaita da'ara. Then that would be bad. Because that's obviously not smoothing your field to get to the threshing. Because you picked up the dirt on the high point and you leave it on the high part. Low, right? Well, if you're making something smooth in order to thresh it on, you take the stuff from the high and put it on the low. And you smooth out your whole field. You're not doing that. So that's a marazayin issue. That is a problem. But the other way, shokal mulya v'shada b'natza, if you take from the high and put it on the low, adaita debay dari. So then that's mutter, because that would look like you're doing it to create a smooth threshing place. Okay, number four. V'yama Rava Haiman de Zachi Zachi. Rava says, anybody who is removing leaves and branches from his field, adaita the tzivi, if you're doing it to get some firewood to create a fire shari, then that's mutter. Adaita the ara aser. But if you're doing it to clear your field, it's aser. So hechidami, again, the Ritva says, so what should you do, even with the good kavanas, that there isn't any marazayin issue? So shaka Rava Rivi Shaki Zutri, if you just take the big branches and leave the small ones, adaita the tzivi, then that's good, because everybody sees that you're not cleaning your field, you're just taking the big ones to use as firewood. Shaka Rava Rivi Zutri, but if you're taking everything, adaita the ara, then that could be a problem.
So,
period.
So could a gardener come a Chol HaMoed?
Good question. Could a gardener come a Chol HaMoed? You should try not to. I mean, that you didn't tell him to come. It's Amir La'akum. If you could try to tell him not to come, it's better not to, because that's malacha Chol HaMoed. Why should you don't need that done? Sometimes they come without your knowing. So you're allowed. But yeah, if you have the choice, if you mow your own lawn, shouldn't be done on Chol HaMoed. Do you have a chiyuv to call him up? Don't come this week, and then because they, I don't know, usually they don't answer the phone. But if you do, maybe if you have the control, they could come a different day. So then maybe in a chinami should not be done. V'yama Rava, what about sprinkling? What about sprinkling your, what if you have a sprinkler on a timer? You have to make sure it doesn't go on Chol HaMoed. So again, that might connect to, if you don't sprinkle it, is it going to ruin the grass? Or is it just not going to be as green this week? So lechora, one time, two times missing sprinkling, depending where you live. If you live in a climate that's not so crazy, not so extreme, so then maybe it should not be done. Also, this is a malacha of on Chol HaMoed. V'yama Rava, because it's a marazayin issue. It's a serious marazayin issue on Chol HaMoed. V'yama Rava Haiman, the Pasach Maila Arei. If somebody, there's a water source and you're opening it onto your field. So Adaita the Kavri Shari, if you're opening the water source so that the fish could get trapped in like a ditch where the water passes through and you want the fish Shari, then it's Mutter. Adaita Ara Aser. But if you do it because you want to water your field, then that's Aser. So Heichidami. So what should you do again so that there's no marazayin issue? Pasach Trei Babi Chadvi Elai V'Chadvi Detoy. If you open both sides of the water source, the upper and the lower, that the kavri. Somehow, that will leave the fish in the dry place, and therefore it's mutter. Pasachad baba, but if it's only, you only close, open up one side, so that the water will fill up in this hole and then overflow onto your field. Adaita ta'ara, that would appear like it's for your land and it's usr. Number six. The Amarava. Hi, Madapasha Dikla, somebody who's pruning, who's taking off some branches. Adaita the Chevasa Shari, if you're taking him to give your animal food, it's mutter. Adaita the Dikla Asr, but if you're doing it too, for the betterment of your tree, it's Asr. Hey, Chidami, so what should you do? The Shakal, Kula Bechad Gisa, Adaita the Chiyusa. If you took them in an unbalanced way, you took all of them from one side of the tree, so then obviously you're not helping out the tree, so that's mutter. A high gisa, a high gisa, but if you take it all from equal sides, a die to the dikla usr. So then it would appear that you're helping the tree, and therefore it would be usr. One more for today, number seven. V'yomar Rava, hani tzmari tochlani. If you have unripe dates, migzarinhu shari. If you cut them down and you open them, so that's mutter, because then obviously you're going to eat them. Maitzinu usr. But if you take them out and start squeezing them in order to get out the inside honey. Right, the date honey, it's because you want to eat them dried, but they're not going to be ready until after Yantif, so that's going to be usr. Rav Papa Amar no, Rav Papa says, Kiva nimitli kiprakmati ha'avidami vishari. Since they're going to go bad, if you don't dry them out, so then it's like prakmatia, like business, where there is a davar ha'avid, and that is going to be mutter. Period. So prakmati is the number 8 of Rava, and that Bezrem will start with tomorrow. Amar Rava number 8 is tomorrow, and we get into the second perek. Avoid cotton. Agun chalamo, agun chodesh.